Gaundy and Mal Show.
Welcome to the podcast with a special guest.
Well, we've said
live on the podcast intro.
We give you exclusive stuff on the pod that you don't get on the show. And Jana Hocking, our dating expert, she's on the podcast intro.
Just randomly.
I feel so honoured to be on this. Thank you for inviting me.
That's fine, babe. It's a bit of a different vibe because, I don't know, we're just a bit over it by this stage.
You've just done 3 hours of live radio. I completely get it.
And a ton of interviews.
And the rest.
Like, oh, there's just bits and pieces that we have. And not to complain.
Oh, Jana, we live a tough life talking into this microphone, man. I don't know how we do it.
But
it's crazy.
I go a bit batshit at this stage of the day. Do you know what I mean?
It's my favourite part of the day because you have no idea what you're doing. You're like physically in the room, but not really mentally here.
Because you do similar hours. You work on a breakfast show. You know what it's like.
It's knock off a clock. What are we doing here, guys?
That is the question we often ask ourselves. But I mean, you'd be right across our show. What was the highlight of today's show? You'd love it.
Oh my God.
Just pick one thing.
So much of it.
Oh yeah, which one?
Specifically? Oh, I really liked State of Origin chat.
That is a good answer. Well done. It did pop up on the show today.
That's funny.
Jana, just to get you across it, we kicked off Petty Origin.
Oh, maybe you can help us out, actually.
What's that?
It's Petty Origin with the Queensland version of us. So we're the New South Wales breakfast show. And so we picked a fight with the Queensland show. But the thing is, they didn't know about it. We just blindsided them on air and
Brilliant.
Just started bagging them out on air. And we kind of went down the Instagram followers road.
Yeah, we were like, let's get more Instagram followers than that crappy Queensland show. That's a quote.
Solid.
From me.
Solid.
Anyway.
Hang on, you said that live on air?
Yeah.
I've said some Brilliant. Pretty rubbish stuff about them this week. Anyway, they've caught
low.
Wind of it. They've caught wind. Oh, no.
I think they're a little bit cut, Jana.
So what do
awkward.
We say? Game on, moles. Game on.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, there you go.
I think they have a little challenge coming our way as well to the first to 5K followers because our social media is kind of brand new. We've only just kicked it off.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll put it on my Instagram.
Can you please?
Let's get some celebrities involved.
That's what
we
was thinking.
Can win. This is easy. We'll have 5,000 by tomorrow.
You've dated everyone.
Let me go through my little black book.
Hey, we're halfway there. We're like at 2,500. So, yeah, if you can get anyone on board, that would be amazing.
Yeah. I'm on to it. Yep,
you're the
let's
best.
Do it.
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
All right. So, we do Origin, our Petty Origin on the podcast today. That is that is definitely there. What else, Maz, we have to mention here?
We've got
anything
a Survivor
else?
Story. Great. We do Survivor Stories on a Thursday, but it's my Uncle Dave that he called the show. Like, I didn't call Uncle Dave and be like, hey, you know how you lost your leg in that accident and nearly died? Do you want to tell that story on the radio? He called the show and was like, oh, yeah, like, Maz is married to my nephew.
Oh, ooh, is he as hot as his nephew?
Uncle Dave married into the family, so no.
I love that that's your first question,
also,
Jana. Always
like
thinking, always
80
thinking.
80 years old and only has one leg, so whatever floats your boat, babe.
Like, I could ignore the missing leg, but the age might get me.
Jana likes the challenge of one leg, I think.
There you go. There's something, someone I've never dated.
Exactly.
Someone with one leg.
And you'll love this, actually, Jana. Wayne Matty joined us on the show. He's on Young Rock, but he's been a celebrity bodyguard to the A-listers.
Personal protection.
John Travolta was one.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
Yeah.
God, did he spill the tea, as the young people say?
A little bit.
Do they say that?
He was very nice.
Apparently.
He said the models are the biggest divas to work with.
Yeah.
I'd believe that. You're hot. You don't have to be polite. Everyone will do stuff for you anyway.
Actually, have you been to Fashion Week in the last week or so? You've been swanning around there, haven't you?
Do you know, I didn't get invited.
What?
I'm horribly offended.
What?
Yes.
Boycott.
I'm boycotting it mostly because I didn't get invited.
Fashion Week and Raya. Just, no.
It's more like, what have I done wrong in my life to not be allowed to either?
Yeah, well,
Maybe you're doing everything right, babe.
Yeah, that's true. That could be very true. But I know a few models and you don't really need a personality.
Oh,
you're just hot.
Why are you pointing at me, Matt?
I thought you wanted to say something and I feel like I cut you off.
Oh, no, not at all. Oh, I thought you were pointing at me because I'm hot and I get it.
No.
Oh, this got awkward.
That's not awkward.
You are hot. You're a very good-looking man, Gaundy.
Oh.
You're all right.
Enjoy the podcast, guys. We'll be right back.
Trevor Gilson, are you officially a world record holder?
Unofficially, not officially.
Oh, okay.
Unofficially official.
So, let me get this right. So you're the project manager of the world record attempt. We've seen the photos on social media of all of these pairs of socks hanging all over Port Macquarie. Tell us about it.
Well, it was, you know, when you lock people up for a few months, as happened last March, April, they get to thinking about all sorts of things. And one of the things that we're thinking about, well, let's come up with a project that is very, very different and capture the imagination of the public and get the public all involved and let's have some fun. And so we did a bit of research and we were having a Zoom meeting on one occasion when we actually had a sock puppet competition. So that led to thinking about socks and that led to exploring Guinness World Records. And out of that came an existing record that they have.
Which was? How many socks was that?
The longest washing line of socks is currently held the record by Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And they built a line that was 6,066 metres long.
Wow.
And on it they had 69,152 socks.
6 kilometres of socks.
6 kilometres of socks. You've got
wow.
it.
Wow.
The Germans. Okay. And so when you start to look at that, you think that's achievable, do you? Because I look at that and go, that's a lot.
Well, you see the photos of it and it's an absolute spectacle, yes. This huge field just covered in socks. But we thought, nah, they've had that record for 7 years. Australia can do that. Let's get into it. We did.
And so how many did you end up doing? The unofficial official record until Guinness give it to you. But what did you end up with?
Well, yes, this is the exact length of the line as recorded by a registered surveyor, which we're required to have.
Mm-hmm.
So our line length was 10,080.3 metres.
That's massive, man.
10,080.3.
Wow.
10Ks.
That was our goal, to break the 10,000 metres.
Wow.
We did that. The number of socks we had was 107,886.
Oh, my gosh. That you have epic. Smashed that record.
We smashed it, yes.
Where do you get all the socks from? Where does that start?
Well, all over the place, actually. One of the great sources was many of the opportunity shops were happy to outsort from all their clothing that's donated.
Oh, that's nice.
The socks. So we got thousands and thousands of socks from about 18 op shops, I think we had at one stage. But we also got socks from as far away as Melbourne and Brisbane. From Rotary clubs there, and we had a competition amongst our own district's Rotary clubs, 55 of them, and that produced 15,000 socks. That was back in March.
And so when do you hear word on whether you guys will be, I'm guessing you will be in the Guinness World Book of Records?
Well, see, they've got 47,000 different world records, and it's only a select number that get into the book each year.
Interesting.
Yes. Geez, it'd be a lot to do to not get the official record, wouldn't it? I mean, I know you've got the record, but it's a lot of work to not officially get it.
Well, yes, that's correct. It is a lot. But nevertheless, our community really got behind it. I think we had about 400 people out there volunteering their time to peg socks.
That's awesome.
And there's a charity element, yeah?
Yes. We chose 4 charities that would benefit from all the fundraising. And we're still doing that fundraising. It's not over by any means, the fundraising side of it. Got a GoFundMe page. Longest washing line of socks. Set our target on $100,000, and we're about $40,000 with the help of one major sponsor, which is the Lewis Land Group.
It's amazing, Trevor. So people can go search that GoFundMe if you're listening right now and you want to donate even a little bit. It all goes a long way. So get behind the cause. And just before you go, whose job was it to build the 10-kilometre fence?
Well, I think the design of it fell to me with the help of a number of my fellow Rotarians, some of whom are former farmers and engineers.
Oh, wow.
So we put it all together, and it wasn't just the men in the club. The women played a big part too. So we had a good time pulling it off. We started off back in March with an official launch of our attempt, and we had our local mayor actually not cut a ribbon, but part a curtain of socks.
That would have been problematic. Yeah, problematic if you cut the line. Whoops. Yeah,
so we built a section of the line and tested it out and found some weaknesses and then set about strengthening it up.
Great. And so does this explain where all of those socks go when I do the washing at my house and I wash a pair of socks and only one ever comes out?
It's funny, isn't it? You can actually find stuff on social media about that.
The universal mystery, yeah. Trevor.
The mystery of socks, that's right.
This is where they all end up, Trevor.
Well, I think we had about 25,000 single, or we call them lonely, socks.
Yes, there you go.
There they are.
The Lonely Sock Club.
There they are.
Yes, that's right.
Trevor, thanks for joining us on the show this morning. An amazing feat.
Good
and hopefully Guinness get back to you very soon and you get yourself in the book.
Yeah, well, we look forward to that. There's a lot of evidence we've got to submit. Video recordings and photos and registered surveyors' reports and inspectors' reports. Yeah, we'll get there.
Good luck with it, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks for the chance.
Guys, we just spoke to Trevor Gilson, who was one of the organisers of the world record attempt for most socks pegged on a line, and the washing line was over 10 kilometres and they pegged over 100,000 socks.
What? So now they're just waiting to hear back from Guinness Book of Records. I think they'll get in.
Now they just hang out and wait for that phone call.
Yeah, but they did it. So congratulations to the guys. But we're trying to debunk a mystery here.
Well, this is a universal thing. I feel like it's happened ever since we started wearing clothes and not vine leaves covering our private parts. The socks that go missing in the wash. Where are they?
We need a phone line expert.
Phone line expert.
Toby from Coffs is a phone line expert on socks. Good morning.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, mate. What's your solution for the lost and lonely socks situation?
My solution is a bra bag, a mesh bag that you zip up at the top.
Delicates bag.
That's the one.
So I guess if you pop both of your socks in there, you're not going to lose one in the wash.
That's correct.
You do this, you never forget to put it in the bra bag, because when I take off my socks, I just throw them anywhere when I get home and deal with it
Maybe
later.
That's the problem too.
Yeah.
I do the same, but I get my missus to sort that out.
So. Yeah, you do.
Get my missus to sort it out.
Bless.
Yeah. Whose bra bag is it?
Oh, hers.
That would be hers. Okay. Yeah, that's good to know.
Just checking. Hey, Toby, great. Like, that's actually a really practical solution that I appreciate.
No worries. My pleasure.
Toby, let me ask this question before you go. When was the last time you did the washing, my friend?
Oh, probably the other day.
Oh, yeah. Great.
The other day.
Cool.
Okay.
I work 5 days a week, so, you know, I do it when I can.
Yep, I'm right there with you, man. We have the same running thing in our house. When you can get to it, you get to it.
That's just cool, man.
Unfortunately for me, it's never. Shane in Coffs, good morning. You're a phone line expert on socks.
Oh, absolutely, Gaunder. You're not going to believe this. I've got the solution.
Love it.
Oh, good. This is what we're after, Shane. Thank you so much for calling through.
So, it happened for me a while ago, and actually around about when I got married, but there's this basket in the bathroom, and I just put all my stuff in this basket, and it doesn't matter if I put one in there or two in there, it just ends up back in my drawer, washed and folded.
Oh, my
amazing,
God.
Amazing, man. How does it happen?
Do you have, like, a magic elf at your house that does the washing or something?
No clue.
Wow.
No clue. But it doesn't matter what I put in there, socks, anything, it just gets clean and put in my drawers. It's
and
amazing.
You said that this all started for you around the time that you got married.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. What a coincidence.
That's.
Sometimes I can leave it on the floor and it does it too, but I try to be a bit respectful and put it in the basket.
Good on you, Shane.
Unbelievable solution, man. So
hit the
key,
jackpot.
Yeah, get married. Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is, Gordy. I guess that's what it is.
We would be lost without them, wouldn't we, Shane? We would be lost.
100%.
The magic basket I'm talking about, not our wives, of course.
Yeah. 100%. Sometimes you can move the basket around the house and it still happens. It's incredible.
Toby from Coffs is a phone line expert on socks. Good morning.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, mate. What's your solution for the lost and lonely socks situation?
My solution is a bra bag, a mesh bag that you zip up at the top.
Delicates bag.
That's the one.
So I guess if you pop both of your socks in there, you're not going to lose one in the wash.
That's correct.
You do this, you never forget to put it in the bra bag, because when I take off my socks, I just throw them anywhere when I get home and deal with it
Maybe
later.
That's the problem too.
Yeah.
I do the same, but I get my missus to sort that out.
Yeah, you do.
Get my missus to sort it out.
Bless.
Yeah. Whose bra bag is it?
Oh, hers.
That would be hers. Okay. Yeah, that's good to know.
Just checking. Hey, Toby, great. Like, that's actually a really practical solution that I appreciate.
No worries. My pleasure.
Toby, let me ask this question before you go. When was the last time you did the washing, my friend?
Oh, probably the other day.
Oh, yeah. Great.
The other day.
Cool.
Okay.
I work 5 days a week, so, you know, I do it when I can.
Yep. I'm right there with you, man. We have the same running thing in our house. When you can get to it, you get to it.
That's just cool, man.
Unfortunately for me, it's never. Shane in Coffs, good morning. You're a phone line expert on socks.
Oh, absolutely, Gaunda. You're not going to believe this. I've got the solution.
Love it.
Oh, good. This is what we're after, Shane. Thank you so much for calling through.
So, it happened for me a while ago, and actually around about when I got married, but there's this basket in the bathroom, and I just put all my stuff in this basket, and it doesn't matter if I put one in there or two in there, it just ends up back in my drawer, washed and folded.
Oh, my
amazing,
God.
Amazing, man. How does it happen?
Do you have, like, a magic elf at your house that does the washing or something?
No clue.
Wow.
No clue. But it doesn't matter what I put in there, socks, anything, it just gets clean and put in my drawers. It's
and
amazing.
You said that this all started for you around the time that you got married.
Yes.
Wow.
What a coincidence.
That's.
Sometimes I can leave it on the floor and it does it too, but I try to be a bit respectful and put it in the basket.
Good on you, Shane.
Unbelievable solution, man. So
hit
key,
the jackpot.
Yeah, get married. Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is, Gordy. I guess that's what it is.
We would be lost without them, wouldn't we, Shane? We would be lost.
100%.
The magic basket I'm talking about, not our wives, of course.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Sometimes you can move the basket around the house and it still happens. It's incredible.
Let's take you back to last night when the Blues smashed Queensland.
It's finished with the Blues winning 50 points to 6. New South Wales, the biggest winning margin for them ever.
It's a great game one.
It's so good. Doesn't it feel great to be a part of the winning team? So, last night on our Insta story, we did put up a code word for you guys to win a Blues jersey. We did just ask people to call through if they had it. Hannah is through in Kincumber. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, how are you?
It's so good. Who'd you watch the game with last night, babe?
I watched it with my family. We had a heap of friends over. We watched the game together.
Love
great,
that.
Great.
Code word for the brand new Blues jersey is?
Banana kick.
Banana kick!
It is! That Blues jersey is all yours, babe.
Yay, thank you.
You can wear it for game two.
Yeah.
Yay. Very
excited. So what we're going to do is we'll get your size that you want. We thought we'd wait to buy it so we can get it that's fitted for you.
Yeah,
so,
that's a good idea.
And we're going to get you one of the brand new Blues jerseys that they wore last night. So you're nice and up to date.
Yeah, girl.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Congrats.
That's a pleasure, babe.
Hannah in Kincumber is our winner of the code word this morning.
Winning!
Off our socials
How
last
good
night.
What is that?
Okay, here's the thing. We did blindside the Queensland Breakfast Show and a little bit of a mission to overtake them in social media followers.
Yeah,
that's where this is all came about, right?
We started this on Monday.
It was petty.
Look, it's a petty origin. We're the New South Wales Breakfast Show. The Queensland Breakfast Show have more Instagram followers, and that just doesn't seem right because our show is better. So we said, hey, guys, follow us on Instagram. Let's overtake them in follows. And we managed to do that by the end of the show on Monday, which is pretty amazing.
Now, we weren't sure if they'd heard of it at this stage because we did blindside them. We didn't include them in on it. We just thought we're just gonna storm them and overtake them, which we did.
We didn't give them a heads up because, you know what, when you're going to whoop someone, you don't want to give them a heads up.
It's best that they don't know what's coming for them.
Yeah, like a ninja. You know what I mean? Like a ninja kick to the balls.
This has just gone to air on their show, Maz.
Oh.
Producer Matt's been listening. They are aware of it now.
Oh.
We are yet to hear this because it literally just went to air.
So this is from Cliffo and Gabby's show,
yeah,
the Queensland Breakfast Show.
Let's take a listen to what they're saying.
Talking about State of Origin, there has been a State of Origin style attack on this show and on this state, in fact, by our New South Wales counterparts. So, Gabby and myself, we do breakfast across Queensland.
Mm.
there's a show that does breakfast across New South Wales named Blandy and Shaz. Is
that... Don't.
What's it called?
Gaundy and Maz.
Oh, Gaundy and Maz.
Blandy and Shaz.
No, I have heard that. No, Gaundy and Maz, okay? So
I thought you said we're not going to stoop.
What I say and what I actually do is two totally different things. And you're right, because I didn't want to stoop to their level because it was a pretty blunt attack from them on their show the other day. What I want to do, and I think we need to open the phones on this on 13 10 60, instead of some sort of unprepared, just going to throw it out there attack, I feel like there needs to be a like an actual challenge between the two shows and between the two states.
Ooh, okay.
An actual challenge.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
So that's just gone to air on their show.
So we don't know what the challenge is yet. Okay.
We'll find out soon, I guess.
Well,
this is the great thing about this. This isn't orchestrated behind the scenes.
I love it.
We are finding out as it goes. We're keeping this one real.
It did sound like they were genuinely a bit upset.
I don't think they were happy with how blunt you were.
Well, this even show though, sucks. I'm just being honest.
Even though it was set in love
I've
of origin.
Said, I'm an open book. I'll always be transparent and honest. And your show's a bit crap. Soz. Sorry for
Maz,
calling it.
Maz.
I'm not going
to... You're meant to be the nice one of the team.
I am the... you should hear what Gaundy says about their show.
I never say anything about it. I like the guys. I'm just going state to state on this thing.
Okay.
All right, we find out. So let's get them on the show tomorrow. Let's see how that goes.
Some sort of challenge that they're going to come up with. Yep. And I guess they're going to let us know what that is so that we both have, I guess... an equal standing of winning the challenge.
We all know this.
Who's going to win.
We've won game one of Origin. We've won the first round of Petty Origin. What comes next? We find
what
out.
What could the challenge be?
Like... wait and see. He's one of the stars of the TV show Young Rock. Wayne Matty joins us right now.
Hey, Wayne.
Good morning, team. How are we?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
So Young Rock, is this the story of Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Yes, that's correct. It's the life of Dwayne The Rock Johnson as he's growing up and so on, and he goes through all the different genres and different age groups as he grows up and what he went through with growing up with his father being a pro wrestler and so on.
Yeah, I've caught a few episodes of this show on Foxtel. It's a great show. So The Rock, he came out to Australia for it, right? Did he spend much time with you guys, the cast? How did that all come about?
Look, actually, he couldn't get out to Australia. It was at a time when COVID was pretty bad. He had just gone through and recovered from COVID along with his family.
Oh,
so
that's right.
Was he meant to come, though? I could swear I saw that he was coming to Australia for it. COVID stopped that, did it?
Yes. I believe he probably had every intention to come over to do it, absolutely. Mm. But with COVID, yeah, it was not doable.
And can we just clarify that you are not playing The Rock in the TV show? You're playing, I mean, you could have because you're a beefcake, but you're playing a pro wrestler.
Yes, look, no, I'm not playing The Rock, no. I play an iconic 80s wrestling legend by the name of Sergeant Slaughter.
Have you ever considered actually wrestling yourself?
You know, funny enough, I was a professional wrestler.
There you go.
Yes. My wrestling name was The Maniac.
And you have I don't want to call it a side hustle, but Shadow Group is sort of like a security agency that you run. And so you've actually spent a fair bit of your time looking after A-listers as well.
Yeah, look, we have a company called Shadow Security Group. We do personal protection for celebrities and so on. I've done it for over 30 years, so we can do anyone from models, rock bands, you know, movie stars, athletes, executive protection, anyone you can think of.
Did you do Justin Bieber's security detail when he came to Adelaide in 2011 or 12 or whatever it was?
No, thank God.
Because you would have had to deal with so many annoying teenage girls.
Look, you'd be surprised. The crowds that gather for celebrities are insane. It's just like mass gatherings everywhere. So it's all different age groups and so on. It's just huge.
Does anything spring to mind as something like the weirdest thing you've seen while doing that job?
Not the weirdest, but probably one of the more intense ones was when I was with John Travolta. We just finished a sort of evening with, and as we were leaving the building out in the back, there's a big caged off area, which the public were kept out of so that we could get him in his car. But he loves to go out and meet the fans and, you know, have a photo with him and so on. He's such a nice guy. And as he was going along the fence line, he realized that he could see where there was a break in the fence, and it was actually the gate. So what he's done, he's just looked at me, given me a look, and then just pulled the gate open and walked straight into the crowd.
No way.
Oh my God. So I've just had to go rushing in the crowd with him and stand behind him to make sure he's all all right while he signed a few things and took a few photos.
Oh, wow. Mm. That's intense. Mm. Did he ever talk about Scientology to you?
No. Funny enough, he never mentioned Scientology one bit. We got along like a house on fire. He was such a nice guy. When he got off the private jet on the airstrip, the first thing he said when he walked up to me is he stuck his hand out and he goes, "You are one very impressive man."
Oh, that's cool. Wow, that's a great compliment.
Yeah, we're going to be buddies for life.
When I look at this list of a few names that we've got in front of us here that you've worked with, Jean-Claude Van Damme, does he need protection?
Look, you'd be surprised. These guys are the legit tough guys from the 80s. I've heard him and Steven Seagal, but
yeah,
they do not want to be depicted as the bad guy in the public. So if people are coming up wanting photos, they want signatures and so on, and if we're on a tight schedule, they're not the ones to say, "No, sorry, I can't do it. That's my job."
Ah, oh, see how that works.
Guy.
We've also got David Beckham here. What's he like?
Yeah. Look, nice guy. Doesn't particularly like the paparazzi, so we had to do a few things when he was here and so on. We'd have decoy cars that would take off, which the media would chase.
That's cool.
And even have him in another car and stuff like that.
So. I love that stuff. It's like secret agent stuff.
And just towards the end of this list, Jessica and Cyrell from Maths, was that just a job you did for a mate?
You needed the money.
No, look, they needed protection. You know, you'd be surprised at how many people don't like either Cyrell or Jess for the way they were depicted on the show. So at the end of the day, they're still human beings. They need to have their own protection whilst they're out in the public doing PR and so on. You know, everyone deserves that. So
that's great.
Yeah, it sounds like you get along with most. Has there been anyone that's been even a little bit difficult or not what you expected?
Look, to be honest, I get along pretty much with most of the clientele that we have. At the end of the day, it's professionalism. You do your job. That's what it is. But, you know, let's just say some of the models are a little bit more harder to manage. That's the best way to say it.
Full of themselves, maybe. The
interesting. The models.
Well, dude, you've got a lot going on. You've got that business. You've got a bunch of movies to your name as well and The Young Rock. What is next?
Yeah, look, I actually just last week I did two auditions for two pretty big projects that I'll have to wait and see if they were successful enough, which then would continue on with the acting career. That's my main focus now. I've done personal protection for 30 years, so done the wrestling for 15. Now it's time to move into the acting, which I've done for 10 years already, but it's just slowly starting to build and gain momentum now after Young Rock. And I did a movie prior to that called Never Too Late with James Cromwell, Jack Thompson and Jackie Weaver. So.
Oh, amazing.
How good. Do you draw on any of your connections that you've worked for? Like, do you send Jean-Claude Van Damme a text and say, "Bro, can I get in your next movie?"
No, I haven't done that. Look, they all know about me and what I do and so on. So if I'm lucky enough that their team or whoever will reach out, that would be fantastic. But I certainly don't push them to try and put me into anything. So,
Wayne, can we keep your number? Because Gaundy is campaigning to get into the Big Brother VIP house. And if he is successful, he will become a household name and will need protection.
Look, happy to help out always.
Yep.
Excellent.
I'm right up there with difficulty when it comes to the models, mate. I'll
He's
be
the biggest
hard
diva.
Work. I'll be hard work, Wayne.
I can't wait.
Oh, Wayne, Maddie, thanks so much for joining us. It's a fascinating story, and we can't wait to see what you pop up in next.
Wonderful. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take it easy, mate. Thanks.
Bye.
Hey, Wayne, quickly, the stuff that you're filming, is this all Australia-based because of COVID? Because you can't really go overseas.
Yeah, no, the travel at the moment is not happening. I mean, you'd be surprised at how much stuff is being filmed here in Australia at the moment. It's colossal. Like, just here in Adelaide itself, only a few weeks ago when I was talking to my casting agent, they said there was 11 projects being filmed in Adelaide at the moment.
Wow.
How good's that?
That's amazing.
Sydney and Melbourne, so.
That's crazy
at the
moment.
That's so good for the local industry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the film industry here is just booming now. I mean, I read that Marvel were going to shift their studios here so that they could be here for the next 5 years to film. Shoot. So that's huge.
That's amazing, man. All right, well, cool. Can't wait to see, Wayne.
Good luck.
Lovely. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, man.
Bye, mate.
Gaundy and Mazza's podcast is the complete package. Brand new Mazda BT50. It's the only ute that's the complete package.